Capacity to be increased, and why we need not to limit ourselves to the current spiritual state we are, why we need not to be satisfied with the current state we are. We're able to understand that it says that has been given unto us the mysteries of the kingdom. And God also confirmed it in his word that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has done what? He has ordained strength. And so, he's just showing us that the Lord is willing to work with us only if we allow ourselves and then we release ourselves to be useful unto him. So we'll continue from there today. We don't have much to say. We'll just see the remaining part of the story we began to look at last week, and then we will pray and we will see what God will have us to. Amen. So somebody should go to 2 Kings chapter 4 and let's read that story again so that we can refresh our brain and our memory to just to remember and then to remind us of what we'll be studying.
2 Kings 4.
Yeah, starting from verse 1 to 7.
Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be born men. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and leave thou and thy children of the rest.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So from the story, you can see that the woman, the widow, or the wife of one of the sons of the prophet, and then had a situation where she was being chased by the creditors, and then there was need for her to pay whatever she was owing, and then she met with Elisha the prophet, and there was certain instructions that was given unto her, that you have a pot of oil with you in your house. So go to your neighbors, people around you, and borrow empty vessels. And that pot of oil, you have begin to pour it into those vessels. And we can see, and as we learned from last week, that our brethren with us, and then people around us, friends that are like-minded, that are like-minded as us, that have the same mind with us, are people where we can borrow vessels from, we can learn from, we can increase our capacity from them, so that God might be able to work in us that which He has planned. Let me also add this. We can see that the woman, the Bible says she shut her door with her children. And then what happened? She began to pour the oil. And we're made to understand that our secret relationship with God, our secret place, is a place where our capacity can be increased. Because we are having a one-on-one relationship with God, a meeting with God. We are meeting our Father, the Creator. And there's enough of oil that is being poured into vessels that we have made readily available. But in the secret place, there are so many things going on there. That's where we study the word. That's where we pray. That's where we sharpen our spiritual senses, as our brother has raised in the prayer point this morning. And the Bible also confirmed it to us. It says, pray without ceasing. It's in the secret place we pray. It says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Then, someone should open to 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15.
show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth.
Study to show thyself approved unto God. When we study, study is engaging the word. When we study, we are actually telling God, Lord, I am open, I'm ready to receive from you. He says, study to show thyself approved. Those are things that happen in the closed door, in a secret place with God. We study the word, our capacities is increased. We are enlarged. The Lord opens the mysteries of the kingdom unto us through the scriptures, and we're able to look into the mind of Christ. Yesterday, when our brother was speaking about what psalm did you read yesterday? Psalm 22. And he was saying these people had the opportunity to see what Christ was going to go through, even when Christ has not even been born. Even Isaiah has not prophesied that a rod will come out of Jesse and he will have the Spirit of God dwelling in him. But they saw it, they had insights. That's what study does. Studies give us a channel where we can be able to see the mind of Christ in this present time and age. So when Timothy said we should study to show ourselves approved, it's an encouragement. It is something we need to do willingly. The next verse, what does it say?
But surely profane and vain babblings, but they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Say shun profane and vain babblings. So those energy we use to gather five or two brethren around and start say, I don't like the way they do this one, take too long, this one, this one. Channel into studying the word. You will have more insight than gossiping and doing all sorts of things. When you sit down, gather five brethren, if you gather and you are sharing the scripture, no problem about that. But when you are saying things that does not edify, it leads to what?
Ungodliness.
More ungodliness. Instead of your capacity to be increased, you are diminishing in capacity. And you are telling God, Lord, you can keep whatever you have. I'm okay like this. And you are shrinking. Hallelujah. So it is needful for us to do what? Study. Let's channel our energy into the things of God. And truly, one, somebody is to tell me something. No one, how the person is to put it, says, there's nobody that determines in his heart to serve God that the Lord will not honor. So if we make up our mind to serve God all with our heart, with everything we have been, with everything we own, the Lord will surely grant you. He will surely give us honor for that step we have taken. So let us encourage ourselves and let us channel our energies into the study of the word. So we'll continue from the story today, and then we will, as the Spirit leads us, and then we'll see how far we can go. So, verse 6, it says, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. So we can see that this woman, she borrowed every vessel she can. Everything, every gift she can covet, she did it. Everything she can pray about, she did it. Every opportunity that's been given to her to increase in her capacity, she did it. And all the vessels were filled. They were full. But the oil stayed. The oil did not run dry. The oil was still available. The oil was still there waiting. Any more vessels? Bring more vessels. I am ready to fill those vessels. Just from a pot of oil. just from something small, something we can count as small, even though it's not small. The prophet knew that oil she had is not a small commodity. Mm-hmm. It's something huge. It's priceless. You can't give it a price. It's not 1.5 billion or this. It's priceless. But this woman was limited. She had, that's all the vessels she can borrow. But the oil still remained. What's the moral lesson here? It's all the same thing. The more we avail ourselves, the more we see the impact of the Holy Spirit inside of our lives. The Holy Spirit can never finish his work. He's there. It has been there since when he came upon the disciples. And he's still present now. Even we don't know when the close of the age will come. But if it is in the next 3,000 years, the Holy Spirit will always be available and will always be there for everyone to do what? To make use of and for everyone to assess. So it's left for the individual, the particular person. How much of the Holy Spirit do you want in operation in your life? How much of the Holy Spirit do you want in operation in whatever we do, in whatever activities we engage? How much of the Holy Spirit do we want in operation? So it's what you give, that's what you do. It's give and take. You give me little vessels, I pour out the one I can fill. The remaining one, we don't know where it's going to stay, but it's just telling us, let's release ourselves for the Holy Spirit to take over. The disciples, they had to release themselves. And the Holy Spirit, when it came upon them, took them in different dimension that they didn't even understand. They just find that they found themselves doing some things and they were like, what? What's going on? They became untouchable. You put them in prison today, tomorrow you see them preaching in the synagogue. And the Sadducees and Pharisees and the scribes will wonder. They will call the guy, we kept this guy in the prison. How is in the temple preaching? We don't know. But their capacity was increased. Those guys were large. They were barrels. they're not just feeble people. My brothers and myself, we used to make a joke. We say the Levites in those times, we used to imagine them as huge guys. Because to undo a bull, you know how big a bull is. You can't carry somebody that's not eating. The bull will fling it. But we used to imagine them as people who are buffed up. They have the muscle to undo the bull. They will carry the bull by the horn and then slaughter it. And that's the way I want us to imagine. Let's see ourselves as some. If you see somebody who are, for those of us that are going to the gym, when you buff up and then you are big, when they say come and carry one heavy something, before they call me, they will first look at you and say, "You, I think you are big enough. You can handle this thing." And that's the way the Lord sees. He looks at our spiritual capacity. How big is this guy? Are we a dwarf spiritually or we are giants? The Philistines, they had soldiers, but there was one, the Goliath among them. They said, "Go, you are big. You can handle it." And he didn't handle the Israelites. Thank God for the intervention of God. He handled them. He stood and said, give me anybody. And look at Israel, like, nobody. They were just looking. And just looking, say, until a shepherd boy that has his capacity increased. This guy has been killing bears, lions, in the wilderness. And nobody knew about it. That's why we should shut the door, the secret place. Nobody knew. Sometimes we will just come back home and they will ask him, how was the feeding of the flock and the shepherding? They say, it's fine. Even though that day he killed a lion, but he won't say, I killed lion. He will just go, it's fine. Oh, their food is in the kitchen, go and eat. Even when Samuel wanted to anoint him, Jesse said, I have one boy. The way he addressed him, you would think he's a nobody. But this guy's capacity was increased, and God saw that this guy is a leader. No, this guy is fantastic. And the Lord just pushed him. Call his father, go and give your brothers food in the battle. And the brother, do you know the description of the firstborn? You know, no girl will see him and will not say, wow. At least this guy can ask for my hand in marriage. He has the stature of a king. He has everything, but the Lord was not looking at him because maybe in the spiritual realm, the guy is just one small rat. But David, one lanky boy, was just there. And then, but God saw that this guy, he has the potential. He has made himself available. And look at the psalms David wrote, the song he sang, the prayers he made, the insights he had. The Lord said unto my Lord. It's only people that has capacity that can sing to those things. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So let's avail ourselves. And when she has done this, let's move to verse 7. We are not going to waste much of our time today. It says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, look at the instructions. Number one, go sell the oil. Number two, pay thy debt. And then number three, leave thou and thy children of the rest. I want to call this the Great Commission that was given unto the woman. No, we know the Great Commission is go to preach. But this is another, you know, this is the Old Testament Great Commission. The woman went to Elisha and said, Prophet, I've done as you have said. I've borrowed vessels. The vessels are filled with oil. What should I do with it? When our capacity are increased, when we've gone to the secret place and then we have enlarged ourselves, we've made ourselves available and God has poured out His Spirit. The Spirit inside of us has increased too. The Spirit inside of God is already channeling into different aspects of our lives. There are things we need to do. There are things the Lord requires of us. So we are not just increasing capacity for increasing sake. We are not just becoming big and big and big for just, I don't want to be big. You don't just go to the gym to gain muscle for gaining sake. Abi, nobody goes to the gym for gaining sake now. There's something you are looking for. There's something you want to do without good body. There's something you want to do. If you are working construction, I want to go to the gym so that I will be able to carry all the cement and concrete. At least I will have the capacity to do that. So there are instructions that the Lord requires us to follow. There are things the Lord requires us to do. Number one, sell the oil. What does selling the oil mean? Now, when we look at the Bible, the word sell comes in different places. From the Genesis to the end, you see sell, sell, sell. But there are two places in which the word sell and oil come together. When they say sell the oil, there are only two places in the Bible that word are being used. It was used. This, number one, is this particular verse. This 2 Kings 4, verse 7. And the second place is in Matthew 25, the parables of the virgins. Those are the two places where the oil was being sold. And what does it mean to sell the oil? It's not, selling the oil now is not as what people do today. Go and carry granite oil and then put it inside a small bottle and begin to sell it, say the hand of God is upon it. The drop of this oil will cause your life to turn around and then you begin to merchandise those things. No. That's not the selling of the oil. That's even far from it. That's a no-no. It's not what the Lord requires to do. You see so many people today, others, okay, somebody will dig well at the backyard of his house and then be pumping the water out and be selling to people. No, that's not what the Bible requires of us. To sell the oil means to be an inspiration to others. Let me explain. This woman, her state was somebody with pot of oil. If anybody comes to me and say, Madam, please sell me this oil. When the pot, when the oil will see a pot of oil, what will she say? Say, no way. Bye-bye. I've not even paid my... I've not paid all the things I owe. You want me to sell this oil to you? Oh, this oil, we use it to eat, though. We are just using it to eat, the children. I can't sell it to you. But our situation was turned around. Now, from a person with a pot of oil, she became a person with vessels of oil. Vessels. Not one, not two, maybe 20, maybe 50 vessels of oil. And the prophet told her, sell those oil. Let's go to Matthew 25. Someone should open there for me, please. Matthew 25. Let's see that parable of the 10 virgins. Hallelujah. 25. Is it 25?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the person can read just from verse 6.
Okay. At midnight, there was a cry made, the bridegroom cometh, go back to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
Amen. Let's stop there. The emphasis is verse 9. The wise virgins told the foolish, they said, go to those that do what? that sell oil. So they were poor. They were sellers of oil in those days. There were people who they were just readily made sellers. These people are people that have vessels. They have oil. And who are these people today? By the grace of God, I see sellers of oil as great men of God who have walked this way. Number one, Jesus is a seller of oil. Because it's an inspiration. Amen.
Amen.
It's an inspiration unto you, unto me, unto every one of us. Sellers of oil are people who have walked hand in hand with God and have known what it takes to be with God. They know what it takes to what? To fellowship with God. They know what it takes to run the race that is set. Let's see Hebrew. I'll give us another scripture so that we get a better understanding. Hebrews 11. We are not going to read it though. it's long, but I'm just going to make some statement from there and then. Hebrews 11. Gave us a picture, a brief explanation of great men that worked with God, and God used them mightily in their generations. From by faith, Abel, from Abel down to who? To
men received their dead.
Yeah, okay, they were stoned and they were sawn asunder. Okay, let's say to Stephen. Amen. Stephen is not dead, but Stephen was stoned. Okay, so yeah, but the Bible in Hebrews listed great men that walked this way. Men that shut the mouth of lions, men that called down fire, men that called down beer, men that their bones raised up people from the dead. Great men of God. Men that led the people out of Egypt to the promised land. Men that told the sun and the moon to stand still till they do whatever they are doing. men that touch the mind of God, men that God unnest for himself, men like Samson, like Gideon, gross great men of God. Please tell me something. Whenever you read about this man, how do you feel? Someone can just answer me. You want to do that, Lila?
Inspired.
My brother said, you ginger. Hallelujah. Yes, we are inspired by their works. We are inspired by whatever they do. You know what they are doing? They are selling oil. Then we now look at verse 12, the continuation of that 11. It says, wherefore, let's look at it. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with great cloud of witnesses. Talking about those people in chapter 11. He's saying, let me put it in a version that I understand. He's saying, wherefore you have seen men that walk this way, that touch the mind of God, that God has used mightily. Let us lay aside every weight, limitation, things that draw us back. Let us gain inspiration from them. Buy oil from them. Add to your oil. Add to the one you have. And do what? And run the race. The crowd of witnesses are sellers of oil. I remember just, I think that was,
is it last month?
Yeah, last month I was with myself and some brothers, we were with Uncle, when Uncle was around. And we just having a conversation, and Uncle began to tell us stories about great men. Not even in the Bible, men after the era of the scripture, men in our current world. Men like Titcomb, men like, you know, great men that are missionaries, what they did. And as we were saying it, I was just feeling some kind of energy inside of me. And even a brother that was close to me, he just looked at me and touched me and said, brother, you are being lifted in spirit. I said, yes, that's true. Because I looked at the life of this man and there was just this inspiration. I was like, God, if this man, wrong with heart condition, he has heart condition. They told him, you can't travel. Heart condition. He said, no, I'm going to Africa, where there are mosquitoes and where there's darkness, where there's no treatment. And he went. And God still used the mighty to transform wicked set of people, to shine the light. Men with heart condition. I said, okay, me, I'm elder. I don't have any condition. What am I doing? So when Uncle was sharing those interesting stories with us, I said, God, you know, you have to help me. I have to do more than what these men have done. These men have worked that way. They are sellers of oil. So the woman, because of her obedience to the prophet, because of borrowing vessels and her capacity enlarged, she became part of the sellers of oil. Overnight, I'll be over a minute. I don't know how many hours it took her. Do whatever she was doing. But she became somebody who also gave out to people. Now, we don't have to die before we inspire other people. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we can be here on earth and we inspire people. We sell oil to people. Now, when you sell oil, we are not getting money. You don't go to them and say, I want to inspire you and then give me money. As some people are doing today. You know, they say, pay advance. Pay. Book hotel for them. Book everything. Pay their everything before they come. If you don't pay, they are not coming. Because they want to sell oil to you. No, that's not it. What is the reward we are getting? Let's look at verse 39 of that Hebrews 11. It says, all this, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Then 40 said, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, the only thing these people got as a result of their working with God was a good report. Proverbs 22:1, I think, it says, a good name is better than what?
Riches,
better than silver and gold, better than this one. They got a good report. That's why you can stand today and say, hey, Samson poured the mouth of lion. That's a good report. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for the whole world. That's a good report. Peter broke through the prison break. That's a good report. Stephen saw the heavens opened. Even in the state of death, he still saw. Those are good reports. The disciples, Matthias, everything, men, Wigglesworth, all those men. Those are good reports. But in our own current generation and state, what we have, they did not receive the promise. But to us, our reward is what? Is the promise.
Hallelujah.
So when we set the oil, what you are gaining back is not only a good report, you also have been to gain the promise. So that's why when Elisha told the woman, go and sell the oil. Sell those oil that you have. So when she goes outside and put oil for sale, and then people are passing by, oil for sale, and I need oil, okay, I want to fry something. Go to the woman. How do you sell this one? One shekel, 30 shekels, take it. She gained money, monetary value. But to us, when we work and people see us, I say, and so to just tell that problem, yeah, why don't you share with this brother? Okay. Professor, how? Please. After the service, I want to share something with you. Okay. And then you meet with Salah and you share whatever you want to share with him. And he, through the help of the Spirit, because his capacity is being increased, he inspires you. Why don't you do this? Oh, I've seen somebody who has gone through this. This is what they did. Why don't you try it? And you did it, and then solution came. If you want to bless him, no problem. Bless him with that. But it's not only receiving a good report. The promise of the Father. The promise of insight into the kingdom of heaven. The promise of knowing the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The promise of fullness, of eternal life. That's what he's going to receive, because he has availed himself. He has made himself a seller of oil. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus. So, Elisha told the woman, go, sell the oil. Sell it. Don't keep it. If you keep it, it's of no use. And there's this scripture I want to try and remember. 2 Corinthians 5. Is it 5? Yes. 2 Corinthians 5, where it talks about the ministry of reconciliation.
Yeah.
Someone should read it for us, please.
And all things are of God. Verse 18.
Okay.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation.
And has given unto us this ministry of reconciliation. So Christ reconciled us back to God, and he sent you to reconcile people back to God. So you have the oil, he has increased your capacity, and he's telling you that capacity, that oil you have, help other people too, what I need. So when the wise virgins told the foolish one, say, we have extra oil that can last us till the bridegroom come, but you know they are sellers of oil. Those people who are the great men that walked the path, they will inspire you. So the foolish one, at the end, did not run to the sellers of oil to buy. But it was too late. It was too late. So, with our capacity increased, the Lord is not just expecting us to just sit down with him and say, yes, I can I can have 5 visions in the space of 1 second. That's that is not for you to boast. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
If you have been God showing you vision about 5 people in the space of 1 second, it's to help those people say, ah brother, what I'm saying is bad. Let's pray about it. Sell it. Give it to people. Sell it out. People who are in need, there are so many people who are in need of oil. When I use the word sell, I'm not saying you should go and be selling and be collecting dollars for oil. That's what so many people do today, thinking they are selling. Help people. People who need oil. Give them, I have extra. I have oil that I can give you. Amen.
Amen.
Then what's the next instruction?
Pay thy debt.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in the context of this story, the woman was owing. Amen.
Amen.
And then she, when the money came, she had to pay the creditor. And I'm very sure she would just go majestically and then look them in the face and say, okay, how much am I owing? And then, like one video or one joke I just thought was, they paid the guy a huge sum of money. The guy just a day before, the landlord had been disturbing him, knocking at the door, bah, boost, bah, save my money, you get out of this house. And then overnight, he maybe got a contract and then used some of money. He went to the landlord's door and then knocked the door. I said, landlord, how much is your house? I want to buy it. I'll buy you and buy your children. The landlord said, are you okay? He said, how much is your house? So, that's just by the way. Elisha told the woman, sell the oil and then pay your dues, your debt. Pay it. Now, I'm going to explain this in 2 different contexts, and then I believe the Lord will grant us the understanding. This woman paid her debt according to the story, and then her children were being rescued from the hand of the creditors, and they were no more going to become slaves. But to us, what does it mean? What does it mean to pay her debt? Now, we know that Jesus paid it all. Amen?
Amen.
He paid it all on the cross, but there's only one deal. Now, that's why I'm going to change the word debt. I don't want to call it, I want to call it due. Our dues, D-U-E-S, our dues that we need to pay. The only thing that is required of us, people whose capacity has been increased, people who are having enough vessels of oil with them, the only due we need to pay is to preach the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the only debt we are owing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing we need to pay. Amen.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 9:16. Let's see what it says.
First Corinthians 9:16 says, "For though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more." Oh, sorry. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel.
See what Paul is saying. He said, I preach the gospel, but it's not what?
He said, I have nothing to glory of.
I have nothing to glory of because what is a necessity for me. If I don't preach the gospel, then I'm a foolish person. After the encounter with Jesus Christ, after the light, the period that I was blind, the period Ananias came to pray for me, and I received my sight. Those things that God has taken me through, the desert of Arabia experience that I had to go through when God wanted to reveal His Son to me. If I come out of those things and I don't preach the gospel, He said, woe unto me if I don't do it. That's the deal we have. When Jesus was leaving the earth, and when he was going, what was the charge he was giving to the disciples? If you look at all the Gospels,
going into
the world and preach, nothing more.
After he thought about the Holy Spirit that has come up, but what is it? Go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. Even before he went, there was a particular time he told them, the Bible said he took them 2 by 2 and then sent them to, he said, if they don't accept you, dust your sand and go away. But anyone that accepts you, dine with them, pray with them, do whatever with them. That's the due we have to pay. That's our debt. Every other debt Jesus has settled, the only one he needs from us, he's not even calling it a debt, he's calling it a due, it's a necessity, it's an obligation.
Mm.
We have to do it. But now, if we don't have the capacity to do it, how are we going to do it? If we are not... Ah, God. I remember those days, I think I was still young then. And then, yes, I was still young, not I think, I was still young. And then, they would call us for evangelism. I never liked it, Jesus. I never liked it. I would evangelism. I will come late. They will wait for me. Say, we'll be waiting for you. Why did you come late? I used to like deliberately stay back so that they would have gone. And then I would get to say I didn't meet anybody. And then I would run back home. But then they will wait for me and say, we are going to evangelism. And then they will hold me. Say, let's go. I'm always scared. Say, hey, what you like, bitch? Hey, what will I say? They would... So every time I'm going, I'll just be walking at the back and then telling them, say no, say, I'm just praying, say, God, don't let this man look at me and say, yeah, you go and preach to this person. And then the man that is leading us, I wonder, he will just go and then greet them, we'll go to where they are smoking and drinking, we'll sit down there and then we'll just start speaking. And I say, what's this man doing? What's this? The capacity was not there. Even though I say I claim to give my life to Christ, but I was unlimited. The boldness is not there. And then, but as I grew up, I began to, you know, see that, wow, there's need. Even then, the pastor would cry, you have to pray. How many people, how many souls have you won? Every week they give assignment, win one soul. No soul, nothing. Because you don't have the capacity. You don't give what you don't have. Imagine the woman say you want to sell the pot of water. She will starve. It's not even possible. She won't do it. You say, I'm owing somebody. You want me to sell all these things? The pot of water that is not even enough for me and my children. So she was limited. But when she had enough, she was able to sell and pay her dues. So when our capacity is being increased, we can boldly. When our capacity is increased, when we have seen things. Now, in increasing our capacity, it's not only just studying the water. Our brother made mention of some experiences also increase our capacity. Amen.
Amen.
God will take us through some ordeals. You know, he will just lead you. Say, let's go through this valley. When you see a plain way, smooth way, where there is zebra crossing and all the traffic lights, the car of the enemy that is coming with speed. We stop because you're on the zebra crossing. You have, you know, I say this one, don't touch him, we'll just let him go. He has the right of the way. But God said, no, let's go through those way with stones and sharp something. And then he leads us through that place. Ha! And you see God. The Lord teaches you some things. He teaches you things that you've not experienced before. He teaches you to be foolish sometimes. you know, teach you the way of wisdom. In the ad, we teach also many things. Those things increase our capacity. When you come out, you can boldly say, if you see somebody crying and say, this thing is too much, you look at it and say, you are not even serious. I've gone through something worse than this one. So what are you going through that is small? Come on. This one is a minor challenge. But that's because you have the capacity increased. Imagine you have not gone through it before and you see the person. You also cry with the person and say, hey, which kind of something is this one? They say, you have never seen this one before. This one, that one. You join the person in crying. But because the capacity has been increased, you can go and help people. So, our duty is just to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He said, the end will not come. Except if this gospel of God is being preached to the end of the world. And we are going to preach it. There are people whose capacity are enlarged. It's not just anyhow people. It's not anyhow people. Nobody. Then I'm just like that. If I go and pray, nobody will hear me. Because number one, I'll be stammering. I'll be babbling. And then I'll be doing the, there's one place in the Bible that says,
for God so loved
the world. They say, where is the place? I think it's in Matthew. The capacity is not there. In my work with God, I've seen men. Even these men are in the church, church system. This experience I'll never forget. This man is not a Yoruba man. He doesn't speak Yoruba. And then we went on evangelism together. Then I'm a bit grow. I have the boldness now. I can go and then. And then we met this old woman. This woman was speaking some, like, chronic Ondo dialect. Ha! We said, how are we going to pass this message across to this woman? If you speak the normal Yoruba, she may say some things in Ondo and you don't get it. All of a sudden, I just saw this man start speaking the same language as the woman. I've known this man for long. He doesn't speak Yoruba. He may understand what you're saying, say normal Yoruba, but to speak it is not Yoruba, man. But the Spirit of God took him over. And they began to speak the same language the woman did deliverance for the old woman. And she was saved. And I went back, I said, Jesus. See, look at this man. We saw it as then, people just saw it as normal thing. But when I went back, I began to reason. I said, this man has capacity. This one is one that God indeed has owed. I said, you are my machine. You will preach the gospel to any language, any tongue. I'm sure if that guy goes to China, the Spirit of God will take him over and he'll start speaking Chinese. If that one can happen. So, we need capacity to be increased just to preach this gospel. The disciples of Jesus, during the preaching of the gospel, they met the guy with the epilepsy that he can't heal. Because the capacity was not there. But when it was increased, you imagine somebody that they threw into prison, came out the next morning, normally, as a human being, with fear, when they throw into prison, you go into hiding for a few days. Even people, they don't go there again. It's God that rescue you. It's God that rescue you. Just hide yourself. Don't go there. But no, they said no. God rescue me. The next day, went there again. And then, still preaching. And they could not do anything. They were looking at him. These people are another thing entirely. That's our dues. But to pay that dues, we need a capacity to be enlarged. How many of us today, we are going somewhere, and the Lord just minister to us, say, talk to that person. And then we go. We first round the table, go, and then say, good afternoon. If the Spirit of God tell you, speak to that person, immediately you go. Like maybe it's brother or sister. You talk to the person direct, let them know. Then you have capacity. But if you still wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, okay, he's eating. Let him finish eating. Let him do this one. Then you need to go and energize yourself more. But we need our capacity increase just to pay our dues. Amen.
Amen.
Then what is the last thing before we pray? What was told of the woman? He said, and thy children. Now, he said, after the debt has been paid, leave thou and thy children of the rest. My brother was saying something today. He said, even though we are pressing towards the fullness and everything, we are praying, we need not to be, selfish or greedy. We need to reach out to people who are yet to be saved. But when you look at this story, look at the arrangement of this story. The prophet could have told the woman, okay, now that you have filled this vessel, keep some for yourself and your children first, and then carry the remaining and sell, and then pay your dues. But he said, no, sell it first. Pay your dues, and then you can feed on the remaining. Imagine if the prophet has gone the other way around. She might have kept plenty, and then when she sells it out, it's not enough, number one. And she can't pay her dues. She sold it, but the money is not enough. She'll still ask to go back to the vessel she has kept for herself and her children, the planned one, and then had to sell again. But the first chronology is you sell it, the money you get, make sure you sell enough, and then get the money, pay your dues, and then the remaining is for you. This is where we have to be very selfless in our walk with God. Whatever God has deposited unto us, it's not just for ourselves. Yes, we make use of it, we use it for ourselves, but we have to consider other people too. Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, every power that after he was baptized and the Spirit of God came upon him, everything he had then, he didn't use it for himself. The Bible says he was going about, doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, the blind seeing. Is it for himself? No, there is no city Jesus did not enter. Even the city that did not accept him, you must do one miracle. The city that did not accept or they had unbelief, the Bible says, okay, not many of them were healed because they had unbelief, but few was healed. You can count the number of times Jesus used like every power he has just for himself. You can count it. Abi, you can. I can mention like 5 now. Say, when we wanted to pay tax, if they don't pay tax, they will arrest us. Yeah, go to the mouth of fish. The stormy sea, we don't want to die. We use it. We are hungry. People are hungry. Fed the 5,000 himself and every other person. What else again? Walking, that was he wanted to teach Peter something. We know how minute those things are. Like we can search the scripture and then in the space of 10 minutes we can point out those places where it's not much. But when you go to the scripture from John, Matthew to John, and count the number of people he healed, those 5,000 is enough. Say you feed 5,000 men, the women are not counted or the children, or dying on the cross. You know, he says it's power. If your capacity is not increased, you can't die on the cross. Dying on the cross. Our brother was giving us an example yesterday. Say, they were spitting on him, doing everything. I used to say it. I said, left to me. He was Jesus. As you spit, you will not close your mouth again. Your mouth will just be open.
Oh my God.
I have to tell you the truth. I said, even the thief that was talking there, the thief, you are in distress, you are still, you still have the chance to be telling Jesus, say, save yourself, save us too. You, if that cross that you, I will come down from the cross, save the other thief, you will remain there. No, those things are, you know, you have power and authority. You see your creature biting you like a dog. Imagine you have a dog and the dog is using his nails and scratching you, biting you. What will you do? Will you stand there and be doing TPE? How are you doing? No, you spank it. Say, come on, I own you. Why are you doing like this? But Christ did not do that. Jesus did not do that. Because there was something he was doing. There is a mission to be accomplished. So whatever he said, and to some he gave teachers, pastors, apostles, all the gifts. What was the reason why he gave those gifts? For the edification of the body. He did not say for you to be established and then be working all about. It's for the edification of the part of the body. So if the body is edified, you will be edified. But the moment we think, oh, it's just for me to buy things and buy private jet. If I can, if I'm a prophet now, and then I began to prophesy into people's life, I would just go about Winnipeg. I would just say, ha, say the Lord bless you. This is what I see. You ate this thing yesterday. And you are, hey, yes, it's true. Say, you will go in the next 5 minutes, and then you see a red car parked behind you. That person will give you $20. And you did it in the next 5 minutes, the person gave you something. I said, if you do it, come back. And then you just came back to me and I say, ah, it's true what you said. And then, before you know it, I'll collect $1,000 from you. Because I want to do it for myself. I need money. I say, that's why you see when people use the word, they say the church now is a good business center. I don't blame them. Because that's what they see. That's what they see people doing. Imagine somebody carrying bottle inside water inside small bottle. Just to you sell the bottle. What in the old church, everything that you are selling is coming from you. Handkerchief is coming from you. Somebody wants to buy pure water, use you. Church pure water. You put the fire of God mission on the bottle water. It's all coming to your pocket. Mm-hmm. All coming to your pocket. What does it take to give people free water? That's what people see. So when they say, people say, I will not open church like this. That's why you go there, you see so many people who are not born again. They are calling themselves opening church. I saw one video, I don't know where I saw it. This man was dressing as herbalist. If you see all the putting on red garment and everything, dressing as herbalist and doing, praying, he put box here. I didn't even understand what he was doing.
Yeah.
You saw those videos too. Yeah. I said, what? This one is not even born again. He doesn't know God at all.
Gates of hell and gates of heaven, something like that.
Yeah.
Put Milo and Bonfita in one and he says it's goodness.
And
you see people there. People are... That's not what the Bible, that's not what the Lord gave gifts for. It's not, if the Lord wants to address you and do you, he will take care of himself. But whatever he has given unto you is for the body. Whatever I have is not only for myself, it's for everybody here.
Hallelujah.
I should not keep it and say, I'm the only one that have insight into these deep mysteries and then... I just sit down. I don't be looking at them. Say, this one doesn't even know anything. When somebody is preaching, the little thing God gave me is trying to ask, brother, this is what I see in the scripture. I will sit there and say, small ball. Just start. If you do that, that's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble. So it's not only for myself. The fact that I'm part of this body. If the body is edified, it will definitely get to me. It will definitely get to me. So whatever insight we have, whatever capacity we have, whatever thing we have, is for the body first. And then we can start feeding on it. If the body is... Then Jesus Christ will not do anything except the disciples. On that. Whenever I preach to the people, he speaks in parables. And then at the back, he come, call his disciple. Okay, the Bible was saying, this is what it meant. He wanted the disciples to understand whatever he's doing. Our work with God should not be just on an individual basis, but we should try and carry people along. Now, imagine this woman, everything she did, she was carrying her children along. They all started together. They met with the prophet together. They did pour the vessel and the oil together. They sold it together. The children were carried along. The woman would have said, you are a small boy, you don't need to sit down. No. Nobody is a small boy. If God not call anybody a small boy, don't call anybody a small boy. what you know is by the grace of God. Whatever you have, whatever insight we have, whatever insight we have into the deep things of God is by the grace of God. We should not look down on anybody. We should even aspire to make that person come up, say, ah, brother, this is not possible. It's not possible that you are like you can reach a level higher than me. That is true Christianity. That is true. That's why we see today is only one man. I have seen situation whereby because somebody went to preach, he preached and that preaching was very powerful. He's just a little maybe the assistant pastor. The rank is very low, but because he preached, the sentiment of the church say you are preaching. Who asked you to preach? Only me want to be doing it. Okay, no problem. Fire on. Do it. So, whatever gift, when we... what's this word? Desire spiritual gift. We covet spiritual gift. Don't covet it because you want to prove or show off. Say, you can give this. No, it's not for showing off. Show off. Whatever show off you do, you collect all your reward here. Yeah, people reward you. They will give all your reward here, and then when you go to heaven, they will weigh you, and you will be nothing. When all the thing you have done is tested, they will just see the look at this one. Come on, go. Wait. So whatever we are doing, we should do it with the mindset that Lord. Everyone gathered here is just waiting to hear from you. Use me to lead. Use me as a vessel. Don't put me in the picture. Because it's dangerous for us to stand and then, this brother is inside, and then they begin to glorify you and then lift you, this one. They are lifting above Christ, and then before you know it, this chair that Philip is sitting now, they will just reserve it for you. This chair is for that brother. Nobody should sit down there again. Then you know that something is happening. So let's be selfless. Let's be selfless. Look at the life of Christ Jesus. He said, "Who will leave the glory and come and die for a man? Who would do that one? Nobody. But he came down, even took on the uniform of a man, the clothing of a man. He took it on." Someone who is in glory, someone whose name is King of Kings, and then just came down and then took on the glory of man and begin to walk among them, eat the food man is eating, drinking the water man is eating, eating the fish and everything, doing everything. It takes a huge sacrifice. No wonder when he was praying in the garden for him to pray and the blood. The sweat turned to blood. I know it's a very big task. Say this cup should pass over. It's a disgrace. Say, cause is he that hangeth on the tree. Say, because of these people. And I'm not going to ask them to eat the fruit. They ate it. They willingly ate the fruit. Why would I come and waste my time? Let's clear them and create another set of people. And let them do it. But God said no. It's this person, these people. These they are the one I want. And we must redeem them. Brethren, so we have work to do. We need to work on ourselves. Seriously. We need to work on ourselves. I need to work on myself. Every one of us. We need to cry out to God and tell God to help us. Because the people in Antioch, when they saw the disciples and they gave them the name Christian, what did the Bible say they saw? They saw that they behaved like Christ. We may just see it as, okay, something ordinary, say they behaved like Christ, but it means they followed the footstep of Christ to the letter. The disciples followed it. And then when the people of Antioch saw them, they said, no. These people are Christ. They are Jesus' on earth. And they call them Christians. Say no, these people, they really played the role of Christ. Can we play the role of Christ today? When they serve food on the table, will you rush and then pack the old chicken and the old burger and everything? Pack it to yourself and people come. I've not seen food to eat on, and you have four pieces of chicken there. And somebody shouts, I've not eaten. That's not good.
Yeah.
We need to be selfless. So this woman, whatever she was doing, is not even for herself. It's just for her children to pay the debts and the dues. And when Elisha said, okay, you sold everything, now the remaining you cannot live on yourself. You cannot eat from it. Begin to feed from it. So all the point of all the enlarging of capacity and everything, what's it all about? Just to pay her dues and her children, for them not to enter into slave or to any form of bondage. It's not for feeding. It's not for her to eat. The feeding came at the end. Say, okay, I cannot eat now. I cannot rest. I can now begin to. So whatever glorification we are looking for is not for now. Let Christ be the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's wait and let Christ do the rewarding. Not us rewarding ourselves or not. So many people have rewarded themselves today. Like some people say they are walking in gold, they are dust, gold dust, like what they call it, walking, I don't know how the man put it. That's, you are just glorifying yourself. Let Christ be the one to say, this one is this. Not you telling people, say, you are not this one. So, brethren, whatever capacity we are increasing in, whatever thing, whatever way the Lord is helping us, wisdom, the Spirit of God, man, moving in us, is not just for us to become, to be lifted in the physical realm or to show ourselves off, to show off. No, it's not because of that. It's for people to be saved, for people to be inspired, for people to come to the knowledge of Christ, for people to understand what it takes to become a child of God. It's like you setting an example.
Yeah.
Say Christ is the firstborn among many. So when Christ did it, we followed after the footsteps. Say, Christ, the relationship with Christ would have just gone and then said, Guinness Book of Records, the only man that died on the cross, the only man that stayed on the cross for 3 hours, the only man that did. Guinness Book of Records will list everything that Christ did. But that was not why Christ did everything. That was not why he did it. He would have taken the accolades, and then Christ is the one. But he said, no, I don't want Guinness Book of Record. The Lord himself said, come and sit at my right hand. You want the empowerment. He said, made him Lord over all things. The God himself did it. He did it for they would have, I know they'll be keeping, they would have written Jesus' name on gold. Right of gold, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, son of Mary, born of this one. He turned five fishes and two loaves of bread. How many loaves? Five loaves and two fishes. He turned it to 1,000 and put it there in Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem, you will see it there today. He didn't do that. He didn't do it for it. The scribes, they know how to write those things very well. They can write it down for you. You will like it. But it was not because of that. It was for the lost sheep. It was for the Gentiles to come to the knowledge of Christ. It was for people to be reconciled back to Christ. He said, Christ reconciled us back to God. So we should also reconcile people back to God. God, Jesus would have easily done it. When they came to, he told Peter, he said, don't cut somebody's ear. Why are you doing that? Killed by the sword, will die by the sword. If I want to cut the eye, I would have cut it before they even arrive here. I have legion of India, I can corner and then they will smite every one of them. But that's not why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it to. I want these people to understand what I'm doing. I want every one of them to come back to the platform that they lost. That's why I'm doing all these things. So whatever we are doing, and it comes to our activity in the church of God, in the house of God, whatever activity we are doing, don't let us do it for so that people can see that I'm not matured. No, if you are thinking like that, you are wasting your time. If the Lord grants you opportunity to drop the word, to lead prayer, to lead song, to lead everything, don't do it because so that that brother can see that I have voice. No, so that they can see that I'm a good singer. No, that's not why we are here. We are not here because of that. We are not here to come and show off our skillfulness, how we can dissect the word, break the word into pieces, and then remold it again. That's nothing. It's nothing. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. We are not here because of that. We had the opportunity to come out from a system that put us down, a system of that is dusty. But we should not act like people who are of the dust. We are not here to show that he has one anointing or grace. It's good, yes. We can see it, it's obvious, but it should not be the focal point of whatever activity we are doing. The focal point is that people might see. When the disciples were fellowshipping house to house and breaking of bread, selling their possession, they're not doing it because they wanted to show off. Ananias and Sapphira, they did it because of show off, and they paid for it. They lied too. They had huge money, and they were like, let's cut this one, then we'll let's do like others too, so that they can see that we brought off it. And then they went to Peter, said, this is what we sold. And Peter said, look at you. Who are you deceiving? You want to deceive the Spirit of God? Everything that is happening here is the Spirit of God, is in operation. It's not me. You may be bringing out my feet, but I'm not the one. So whatever capacity God has given unto us to operate in the body, please, let's do it as unto the Lord. Don't let us look for approval of men. Or look for somebody to come and hail us and say this one, that one. Don't let us look for it. If they bless the brother, we thank God. It's God. God is faithful. Don't go and say, yes. Now I can. You dust your shirt and then you you begin to do. You just waste your time. Imagine your body now, and then one of the part of the body lifts itself and say, I'm the most important, and they are fighting. Say, the legs say, I'm the most important. I am the most important. Yeah, the brain says, look at you. Are you serious? You are the most important. What am I doing there? You think I'm just sitting down there for nothing? I will shut the engine now. Or the heart, say, I will stop pumping blood. I will see how you will perform. Just imagine the our body, they are in conflict. They will scatter themselves at the end of the day. The heart will just say, since everybody is fighting, just shut down and say, okay, leg, move now, let me see where you're moving to. And where you move, eyes move, let me see where you're going to. The disciples almost did it. When the mother came, brought the two sons, said, come, let them. The Bible says it almost caused conflict. Jesus said, no. Don't do that. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. No. This is not the foundation which God wants to make. Is don't come and meet me at the backyard and say, let these two sit down. No. You work for it. Let them work for it. Let the children work. We are not here to do all those kind of things. So the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. It's not by eye service. Don't do eye service. Anybody. Don't let us do it. We're a body. And we need to keep on growing together. So whatever dimension God is giving us, if God lays us upon you and then you don't know what came over and you're done leading prayer 3 hours, glory be to God. It's the Lord that lays his hand upon you. It's not anybody. It's not because you fasted 3 days ago and then you say, no. It's not because of that. God will strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we need our capacity to be enlarged. There's great work to do. He said, Lord, send down laborers. The laborers that are available, what are they doing? Are they sleeping? Are we sitting down, relaxing, say, ha, I'm out of the system now. All right, thank God. Say, we are, we did that trust system, Babylon, Babylonian something. No, we are out of the system, but there's great work to do. There's great work to do. The harvest is ripe. People are waiting. The creatures are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are the sons of God. Are they being boastful? Are the sons of God showing off their skill where they're supposed not to show it? Yoruba people used to say a proverb. You say any Yoruba, like a man who has not seen war is the one calling himself a man. Say if he has seen war or he has fought war, he knows what soldiers don't come and then be saying I'm a soldier. No. Anybody can come and I can put on camo now and say I'm a soldier. But if they carry me to the battlefield, they will know if I'm truly a soldier or not. So yeah, we can be showing our skill and everything good. But the main battlefront, are we available as well, or we are hiding like me when they call us to go for evangelism and then we will stay at the back? Let the sons of God arise. Amen.
Amen.
We will begin to pray.
Let's begin to ask the Lord. The Lord have mercy.